We are now in the middle of the college football season. We'll get our weekly view from the middle. He is the outstanding writer for USA Today. Find his work in the red section of the paper online, usatoday.com, on Twitter, at George Schroeder. George, a good day to you, sir. How are things?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
All right. You know, I'm going to start with Oregon. They had the gut punch loss against Stanford. They bounced back. They went on the road against Cal, who it looks like at best is eh. Then the exciting victory last week against Washington. Obviously, you're wired into the national scene. You hearing a buzz about Oregon now that, you know, we heard a lot from late in the Bilotti era through Kelly the first 2 years under Helfrich, but kind of drifted away a bit?
Well, I wouldn't say to the extent that, you know, it reached a magnitude where they were one of the top four or five programs around and people sort of in the buzz factor. I don't think it's there at this point because we're so focused on the playoff. And even though Oregon's record is sitting at a spot where if they won out, well, why wouldn't they be considered for the playoff? At this point in the season, I think you've got people going, wow, they've got, you know, Mario's got them coming back, and maybe they're about to, you know, change things in the Pac-12 North and return to being a power in the Pac-12, and maybe they're going to become a national power again. But we're not saying they're there yet. So, I mean, does that make sense? It's like, I think people really around the country look at Oregon and they say, okay, all right, I'm ready to see this happen again.
And I think that those are great signs. But if the question is sort of, is the buzz back where it was, the answer is no, not yet. Because I don't think people think that they're at that sort of the playoff level yet.
No, that makes a lot of sense, and they've got a tough test this week. I want to get to Nick Bosa of Ohio State. I think sometimes we confuse individual circumstance with a trend, injured players deciding to focus on their pro career, you know, leaving school to prep for the draft. So this guy was done for the regular season. He had surgery for an injury like this. So are we just dealing with logic, not risk, a guy who's got a high-level NFL upside for maybe one game and risk his future?
Well, you know, let's realize that is what we're talking about, is the idea that he might be ready to come back for the postseason, which is either a bowl game or a playoff semifinal or something like that, depending on what Ohio State does. That's what we're talking about here. Might be ready, might be cleared by the doctors, which, by the way, is a different thing than saying ready to come back and play at an elite level and not re-injure yourself. Those are two different things, being cleared by the doctors and being really all the way back. And so, to me, it's a no-brainer decision, and it's not a, you know, it's not a some sort of a selfish, bad decision. It was going to be very, very, very iffy, the idea that he could come back and be anything close to the Nick Bosa that we had seen play before. So I didn't see that as a giant deal, and I was a little bit surprised to see it as such. And I don't know that we're going to see it as a trend either. You know, that people are like, why wouldn't people just sit out the full season if they wanted to? People talk about that with, for example, Houston defensive tackle Ed Oliver. You know why people don't do that? There's two reasons. One, people like to play football. But two, and this is a pretty big reason, if you just sat out the season without injury being a factor, I think that would be the point where coaches and general managers in the NFL are like, hey, can you count on this guy? He's not going to be on our board. I really do think that. And maybe you can come up with the perfect, most talented player scenario where people have to take him, but that's a very rare deal. And so to me, it's a lot different than sitting out a bowl game that's not a playoff game, that kind of thing. I think we're going to see more and more of that from guys, and some of them it'll be a smart move, some of them won't be. We're going to see more of that. But I don't think we're going to see a bunch of guys who are injured who can actually come back in the season and be healthy in the season shutting it down. And I don't think that's what happened here. I don't think he could have been really healthy enough to really for it to make sense for him to come back.
No, I think that makes sense. When we talked last week, Georgia at LSU mentioned that Bulldogs kind of a quiet number two, but, you know, they really hadn't played anybody. I know Tennessee just won at Auburn, and the Tigers beat them soundly. I mean, four turnovers. So, you know, is LSU in the playoff picture now with that strong defense and running game? Bulldogs overrated? What was your personal takeaway from Saturday?
Well, I think the first thing is the Bulldogs were definitely overrated, and they were rated based on what they did last year. I mean, they hadn't really done much to be ranked the number two team in the country. And if you look, the signs were there in their first six games of a lot of different flaws. And they were sort of all realized at one time against the best team they've played so far in LSU. That's not to say that Georgia won't get to the playoff. I mean, Georgia's got every chance to run through the SEC East, get back to the SEC title game. The problem there is probably going to be an Alabama team that I'm not sure that this Georgia team looks like it can beat. But if they win out, they'll be in the playoff. No problem. My problem is the idea that they can win out, beat winning that last game. And given what we saw of Georgia in the game the other day, I think they're the best team in the SEC East, but I wouldn't bet my house on it. I mean, they're not nearly as good as they were a year ago. I'm not sure that Florida couldn't beat them in a couple weeks here, that Kentucky couldn't give them a game. I think they're the best team in the SEC East. I don't think they're anywhere near as good as they were last year. And that's not to say that they're not good. It's just to say that they don't look like a playoff team to me. The other question you had was about LSU. Look, it's all out there in front of them to prove it to us. I mean, they can do it. They can prove it to us. You got to beat Mississippi State this week, and then you've got a bye week, and then Alabama comes down. Baton Rouge on November 3rd. I've already got my trip booked for that one. It'll be played up as a huge game, and maybe it will be. But I look at their defense, they're really good. I look at their offense, and it's still really pedestrian. And I think it is not the kind of offense that is going to keep up with an Alabama or would not keep up with an Ohio State or some of these more powerful offenses. And, look, as good as its defense is, I'm not sure anybody's defense really, truly stopped the dynamic offenses. You know?
Right.
Remember how good Georgia's defense was a year ago? Did it stop Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl?
Nope.
Not really. You know, that's sort of how it works. And so as good as LSU's defense is, and it's good, you got to have an offense that can kind of keep up. And so that to me is still the issue. But they can go and disprove, they can prove me and everybody else wrong by going out and winning these games. And in that case, I'd be happy to prove them wrong. They're a cool story. It's neat to see what they're doing with that Ogeron at the helm. I'm just skeptical that they're good enough to beat Alabama.
Yeah, it looks like November 3rd is going to be kind of a telling day. We continue with George Schroeder, USA Today. You wrote about the new coaches off to rough starts, and you wrote this before last week's games. And, of course, obviously a lot of folks around here eye on Chip Kelly, and he was asked what worried him about his 0-4 start, and he said the record. They played Washington tough. They just beat Cal. I think most people, George, thought they would struggle this year, but at least now, finally, the graph may be pointing a little bit upward.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think anybody thought they'd be 0-5, whatever they were.
Five.
You know, they're 0-5 or whatever, going into the halfway point. But, you know, perfect storm of badness hit them there. I think it was a good sign to beat Cal. And it sort of makes you think to yourself there might be another win or two that they can find on the schedule. And the more you get, I mean, if they found a way to get to three wins at this point, which I think is still a little bit of a stretch, then I think you sort of think, okay, you sort of collect yourself in the off season. You go, all right, it wasn't as bad as it could have been. They got better in the second half, and you go from there. What I was pretty concerned about, you know, going into the Cal game was, where are they going to collect a win, and how are you going to find them? But after how they played in the Cal game, and I realize they had some defensive touchdowns in there, but after the way they played, then I think you can sort of begin to see some of the signs come to fruition. And that's how some of this works. So Scott Frost is winless at Nebraska, right?
Right.
They're doing some things better. Every game they do something better. but they keep losing. And that loss to Northwestern, that comes from a head loss to Northwestern, could be a killer. When you finally, though, start, when you finally get the result on the scoreboard, is when all those things that you've been able to see that you were doing better, maybe they actually feel better, and you begin to get better, and you begin to win more and more and more. So maybe for UCLA, we'll begin to see them have a better shot to beat some people, whereas with Nebraska, sort of the jury's still out.
That Nebraska loss, by the way, they had them pinned on their 1 yard line, no timeouts left. That was just a nightmare. Final few thoughts for George Schroeder, USA Today. We talked about Notre Dame winning out and that there's zero chance they would miss the playoff. Then they almost lost to a 3-loss Pitt team. Some mistakes by their new quarterback, Ian Book. They needed a couple second-half TDs. They won 19-14. But that defense, really strong. So do we change our thoughts on their viability as a contender? Or, look, that's this game. You survive a few scares, you overcome it, and you're right there.
Look, I mean, if the idea is can they get through unscathed, then maybe you take a look and you go, maybe we need to reevaluate. But if the idea is if they get through unscathed, will we be like looking at their resume and saying, yeah, but they barely beat Pitt, or they barely beat this team, or they didn't look good that day? And the answer to that is no. If they, first of all, if Notre Dame goes unbeaten, they're in. Doesn't matter who's out, they're in. If they're 11-1, it'll be a real interesting thing, and you have to sort of see who they're being compared against. And at that point, you know, all the sort of what was your actual schedule and how did you play against that schedule will come into play, because it'll be eye test stuff with the committee. Look, I still think it's difficult to see them going unbeaten all the way, because guess what? It's difficult to see anybody ever going unbeaten all the way. People rarely do it in college football. And I don't even think we need to point all the way to USC. But USC, with that improving JT Daniels, is the kind of team that could get them, you know, right when they're trying to make that last hurdle and get into the playoff, you know. And so I'll say this. If Notre Dame continues to win on and on and on, there's going to be a lot of people in a lot of conferences and just sort of some regular old Notre Dame haters who are going to be watching every week, hoping somebody can take them down.
Yeah, I agree, and I also think they're very capable of winning them all, because they didn't play well, but man, that defense looks good.
So, well, they've got a really good defense. That's exactly right. And Ian Book has changed their offense, without question. But, you know, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. And then, you know, you have to deal with everybody trying to go, well, they shouldn't be in the playoff. There's no way they can play with these teams. Well, how do you know that? Are you basing that based off the 2012 Notre Dame team? Is that what you're doing? And that is what they're doing.
Sure. So last week we had Georgia, West Virginia, and Colorado lost. That meant the unbeatens in the Power Five went from 8-5. It's going to be 4 because you're going to a game with 2 of them, NC State and Death Valley for Clemson. Ryan Finley, now the graduate quarterback, I was reading he's got a better winning percentage than Russell Wilson and Phillip Rivers at NC State. Both teams are off a bye. Vegas doesn't see this one as a nail biter. They got the Tigers a 17-point favorite. Do you agree that the Wolfpack are in for a pretty legit reality check?
I think so. I mean, listen, it's nice that they're unbeaten. It would have been really cool if they'd have gotten to play West Virginia. Obviously, West Virginia didn't look good last week, but they had that game that was canceled because of Hurricane Florence. And we would have had a better feel for them, but so far their schedule's been pastry soft, and so it's hard to really know what to make of the Wolfpack. Meanwhile, I don't know how good Clemson is, but I know they're really good. In other words, I don't know if they're good enough to win a national title good, but I know they're really, really good, and so I don't have any doubt about that.
When you add in the fact that they're playing at Clemson, I think it's set up to be a probably a day that Clemson has a good day and North Carolina State doesn't enjoy it. The big reason I find Clemson really interesting in a game like this, which feels like the only potential speed bump or one of the very few speed bumps down the remainder of their schedule, interesting, is because I want to see them continue to progress under Trevor Lawrence, a freshman at quarterback. Here's the deal. They made that switch
not because Kelly Bryant was doing anything wrong, but because they feel like in order to win in the playoff, not just to get there, but to win in the playoff, they have to have an offense that can compete with those teams like Alabama and perhaps Ohio State. You know, and so they've made that switch, and really we've only seen him. He got banged up in the Syracuse game, and then I'm not sure you take a whole lot out of beating Wake Forest like a drum. But I think we're going to be watching to see if he can elevate that offense.
I sure like their running back, ATN, and we've talked about it. My God, sometimes they get after the quarterback and just terrorize him. Lastly, the NBA season started last night. The Thunder played the champs tough without Westbrook. Of course, they got rid of Carmelo Anthony. They added a nice piece in your namesake, Dennis Schroeder. Now, I'm not saying they challenged the Warriors and Rockets, but I think they might be in the next cut in the West. What's the buzz about this team in your home state?
Well, they're excited about them. I mean, there's a little bit of TBD to be determined because Russell Westbrook obviously sat out the opener, and we're not exactly sure when he'll return after a minor knee procedure that happened, you know, 6 weeks before the season or whatever. And then still waiting on Andre Robertson, who's sort of their, you know, defender, wing defender, to come back from a bad injury that happened last January, and he probably won't be ready in December. All that said, they do like the piece that they added. I also like the certainty they have where, you know, the last 2 years, you were sort of like what happens in the offseason was sort of an underlying thing every night. Well, now they've got, you know, Westbrook locked up long-term. They've got Paul George locked up long-term. They understand they've got Steven Adams locked up relatively long-term. They understand that they're going to have their guys, and so you can just sort of go play, kind of build around them. And so I think they're excited about that. I'm excited, personally, because of the potential every night for a headline that says George, Schroeder, get hot, help Thunder win. And I'm going to like pretend like the comma's not there, and so I actually had something to do with it.
All right. Well, it's nice to see you make it all about you. You got 81 of those games left. Folks, follow him on Twitter at George Schroeder, online usatoday.com. Enjoy your trip to South Carolina. Hope you get a good game. And looks like we'll have a lot of fun stuff to talk about again next week.
Yeah, I hope so. College football's great. And this is a fun overlap season, too. So.
You got it. Hey, good stuff, George. Thanks a lot.